Yatata from the Lord was willing to offer. Nodya by foolishness. Manaha material prosperity. Mem by me. Bhikshita was asked for. Bhata, alas, Ishvara from a great emperor. Kushina reduced. Punyena whose pious activities Falikadam broken particles of husked rice. Eva like Adana a poor man. Is somebody translating for the ladies? There are many ladies, they have no translation. So if you provide it, they'll take it. So we should provide it to every devotee so he can understand the class. Because of my state of complete foolishness and paucity of pious activities, although the Lord offered me His personal service, I wanted material fame, name and prosperity. My case is just like that of a poor man who, when he satisfied a great emperor who wanted to give him everything, anything he might ask, out of ignorance asked only a few broken grains of husked rice. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In this verse, the word swarajyam, which means complete independence, is very significant. A conditioned soul does not know what complete independence is. Complete independence means situation in one's own constitutional position. The real independence of a living entity who is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to remain always dependent on the Supreme Lord, just like a child who plays in complete independence guided by his parents who watch over him. The independence of the conditioned soul does not mean to fight with the obstacles offered by Maya, what is surrendered to Krishna. In the material world, everyone is trying to become completely independent simply by fighting against the obstacles offered by Maya. This is called the struggle for existence. Real independence is to be reinstated in the service of the Lord. Anyone who goes to the Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavan planet is freely offering his service to the Lord. This is complete independence. Just contrary to this is material overlordship, which we wrongly take to be independence. Many great political leaders have tried to establish independence, but due to such so-called independence, the people's dependence has only increased. The living entity cannot be happy trying to be independent in the material world. One has to surrender, therefore, unto the lotus feet of the Lord and engage in His original eternal service. Dhruva Maharaj regrets that he wanted material opulence and greater prosperity than that of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. His begging from the Lord was like a poor man's asking a great emperor for a few grains of broken rice. The conclusion is that anyone who is engaged in the loving service of the Lord should never ask for material prosperity from the Lord. The awarding of material prosperity simply depends on the stringent rules and regulations of the external energy. Pure devotees ask the Lord only for the privilege of serving Him. This is our real independence. If we want anything else, it is a sign of our misfortune. Om Agyanti Vinandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur and Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovestam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamdan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanmitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Subhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Talita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sham He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripye Vancha Kalpatarbhyashta Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Svarajyam Yachito Modyan Manome Bhikshito Bata Ishwar Kashina Punyena Falikaran Ivadhanaha. So we've been hearing the story of Dhruva Maharaj for the past 3.5 months. There were 81 verses in chapter 8, and we are now on the 35th verse of chapter 9. So roughly, at least for 3.5-4 months, we've been hearing the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And still, no one feels tired, isn't it? Does anyone feel he's heard enough of Dhruva Maharaj, now he wants some other topic? Anyone feels that way? No. Why is that? That's the nature of spiritual subject matter. You can go on hearing, and your desire to hear will even get more intensive. Just like we see that Parikshit Maharaj was hearing the Bhagavatam. He was fasting, total fasting, not even taking a drop of water. And he was getting so much nectar in hearing the transcendental narrations of Shukadev Goswami that he was begging for more enlightenment. So that's the nature of spiritual subject matter. And on the devotional path, we take interest in the hearing process, where the hearing process is capable of destroying our anarthas and deep attachment to everything that is detrimental for spiritual advancement. Now, Dhruva Maharaj is a speaker of this verse. And we have seen in this chapter that the Lord personally came and appeared before his beloved devotee, Dhruva Maharaj. And what did Dhruva do to achieve this mercy? He practiced austerities with the utmost determination. We see in this chapter the narration of King Uttanapada's family. The king had two wives. He was the son of Swayambhuva Manu, the grandson of Brahma. And he had two wives. From each of his wives, he had a son. His two wives were Suniti and Surichi. He was more disposed to Surichi and thus attracted to Suniti. And one day, when the father was patting his other son, Uttama, Dhruva, looking at the affection that the father was giving to his brother, also desired to sit on his father's lap. And as he was endeavoring to achieve that, his stepmother, who was sitting right next to him, right next to the king, said, "You can't achieve that status of sitting on your father's lap. If you want to achieve that status, you have to perform austerities. Then you'll get the mercy of the Lord. And as a result of that mercy, you will take birth from my womb. And only after you take birth from my womb will you be eligible to sit on your father's lap." So what she was saying is, perform austerities, then you'll get the mercy of the Lord, then you die, and then you take another birth. But at least she said, perform austerities, then you'll get the mercy of the Lord. So indirectly, this was a blessing. So Dhruva performed great austerities. In fact, when Dhruva was getting ready to go to the forest to practice austerities, Narada Muni appeared on the scene. Narada Muni is also known as Trikalaga. One who knows past, present and future. And Narada, Narada means one who can deliver the Lord. So Narada Muni only has single pointed goal in life: to deliver Godhead and the message of Godhead to everyone. So Narada appeared on the scene. He knew the background. He knew why Dhruva was headed for the forest, why he was, what Dhruva's ultimate aim was. What was Dhruva's ultimate aim? He wanted to have a very opulent kingdom. He felt insulted by the harsh words of his stepmother. Having Kshatriya blood, he resolved that, "I'm going to teach my stepmother a lesson. Who does she think she is? She stopped me from sitting on my father's lap. I'm going to have a kingdom far more opulent and greater than that achieved by my father or grandfather." Or he wanted a unique, exalted, great-grandfather. I'll have something very exalted. So that was his ultimate goal. However, he realized one thing, that even if I want that, I should get the mercy of the Lord. Without the mercy of the Lord, it's not feasible. Krishna says in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, people come to me under four different circumstances, isn't it? Chatur Vidhava Jante Mam. Who are the four categories of people who come to me? Who knows? One who wants money. One who's in distress. Then the inquisitive. And as a result of genuine seeker of knowledge. People have knowledge. God is supreme. God worshipping God, human lives are failure. So he turns to God. Krishna says, all these four are punyatmas, pious. But of the four, the best is when it comes to me as a result of knowledge, the mood of serving me. One can serve the Lord without motives or with motives. If you serve the Lord without motives, you'll be peaceful in every situation. Just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Krishna Bhakta Niskama Ata Eva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. So Krishna Kaviraj says, Krishna Bhakta Niskama, those who serve the Lord with Niskam Bhav, unmotivated, they will always be peaceful. We see, for example, even when you are in a devotional mission, there's so many obstacles we have to face, so many hardships. Look at Prabhupada's own life. Prabhupada, in order to establish this Krishna consciousness movement, he had to struggle. He had to struggle under such extreme difficult situations. He was traveling in third class. He would pass by this road in front of the Hare Krishna land, walking barefooted because he could hardly afford even traveling by bus. But the struggle did not in any way discourage his resolve to fulfill his spiritual master's instruction. The point is, when you come on an unmotivated devotion, when you come with the spirit of serving the Lord, Niskam Bhav, then whether you're honored or dishonored, victory, defeat, heat and cold, you remain undisturbed and you stay on the devotional path come what may. On the other hand, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi. Bhukti refers to those who take to the devotional path, but they want karma kanda, they want material benefit in exchange for this worship which I'm doing. I'm going to Kumbh Mela, but in exchange, I want to have the satisfaction of washing away my sins, and I can commit new sins for the next 8 years, and again go for a... They shouldn't make so much noise. Then Mukti. Mukti, those who want different types of liberation. Then Mukti, Mukti, Siddhi. There are 8 types of mystic perfections that you can realize. So it is said by Krishna Kaviraj, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi, all these people who want these goals, Sakali, they are all Kami, they are all lusty. So therefore, Sakali Ashanta, they are not peaceful. Vyasadeva had compiled the vast Vedic literature. The literature compiled by Vyasadeva is the most vast in the history. And he had summarized everything in the Vedanta Sutra. Then for the less intelligent class, he gave us the Mahabharata. But in spite of having composed this vast literature, Vyasadeva was still feeling despondent, sad. He was feeling as if there was a spiritual vacuum in his effort. And as he was meditating, why am I feeling dissatisfied? I've done the best I could to give guidance to humanity. There appeared, who appeared? The great sage Narada. Narada, incidentally, is also one of the 12 Mahajans. Sayambhu Narada, Sambhu, Kaumara, Kapila, Manu, Pralado, Janaka, Bhishma, Balir, Vai, Yasakirvayam. He's one of the 12 spiritual authorities. So there appeared the sage Narada, who told him that the true cause of his feeling despondent is that he has not exclusively presented the path of, which path? Pure devotional service. And that gave birth to the presentation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting the philosophy that the highest religion one can render, the highest duty that one can render, is to render service without any motivation. Therefore, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, it is stated, Sarve punsam paro dharmo यह तो भक्ति अध्यक्ष है ही तो के पति होता है आत्मा सुप्र सीधती
द सेल्फ विल बी सैटिस्फाइड इफ यू आर सर्विंग विदाउट मोटिवेशन विदाउट इंटरप्शन सो नो डाउट Krishna says four categories of people come to me. If you want money, come to me. Don't go to demigods, come to me. If you want some, if you want to free yourself from your distress, come to me. But Krishna also establishes in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the highest is, if you come to him, that motivation. Dharma brojila kaitvata parma nirmasaram satam. The Srimad Bhagavatam presents the highest truth and it rejects the utilization of dharma. For the purpose of artha, kama and moksha. So we should understand that the ultimate goal of all our efforts should be to render pure devotional service, which should be characterized by the fact it should not be motivated and it should not be interrupted. That means it should be uninterrupted, which means I serve, doesn't matter, pleasant, unpleasant, heat, cold, victorious, defeated. I go on with my service, just like we chant the six ashtakas every day. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Nananam na janam na sundaram kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmeshwari bhavtat bhakti aitagityaya. My dear Lord, I don't want be enjoy beautiful women or materialistic followers or what else? Any time of wealth. What he wants only is the opportunity to serve him birth after birth. So Dhruva Maharaj practiced extreme austerities. He went to the forest on Narada Muni's direction, chanted the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He made a form of the Lord. He made a form of the Lord mixed with mud and water. Meditated on that form non-stop without interruption. And at the same time performed extreme austerities, such as in the first month he only took, what did he take? Dry grass. Then fruits and berries. Then he even stopped that. He took water once in 9 days. First month he ate every 3 days. Second month every 6 days. We eat three times a day, isn't it? In the material world they say breakfast, lunch, dinner. You go to any hotel, they charge you for breakfast, lunch, dinner. But he was eating. And we devotees eat twice a day, am I right? 9 o'clock and 5 o'clock. But Dhruva Maharaj was eating once in 3 days. And that was only in the first month. The second month he started eating once in 6 days. Third month, he stopped eating completely. Only drinking water once in 9 days. And in the fourth month, he even stopped drinking water. He would inhale once in 12 days. In the fifth month, he stood on one leg like a column. So by his extreme austerities, he was able to meditate on the Lord. And the Lord was so pleased by his austerities. He was a young boy. How old was he? How old? 5-year-old boy. Imagine, like Prahlad. 5-year-old boy performing such intense austerity, such determination he had. From Dhruva, one of the things we should learn is determination to pursue spiritual goals. Dhruva was a young boy. Narada Muni wanted to test him. Narada Muni said, you such a young boy, you want to go and look for God? This is not the age to look for God. This is the age to play. Go and play. Just like in today's society, doesn't matter what age you come to God. What do your relatives say? This is not the age to come to God. If we see that even if a 60-year-old man is coming to become a devotee, 70-year-old man, his relatives will say, oh, this is not the time to look for God, this is the time to babysit grandchildren. Then when is the time to look for God? When you're half blind, half deaf, half lame, but no one wants to be near you, that's the time to look, go to Vrindavan. So, but Dhruva was a young boy. He was determined to look for God. He wanted to, and the Lord was pleased by this boy's dedication and determination. The actual Dhruva was able to capture the Lord in his heart by his meditation. But then, all of a sudden, the meditation in his heart broke. And the Lord, sitting on the back of Garuda, appeared before him. And he touched him with his conch. Dhruva got such immense pleasure when he saw the form of the Lord. And the Lord offered him a kingdom in the Polestar that Dhruva was able to rule over for 36,000 years. So if you talk about this to the modern day society and say Dhruva Maharaj ruled over his kingdom for 36,000 years, what are they going to say? What are they going to say? They'll say this is mythology. Is it possible that anyone can live for 36,000 years? They fail to realize that in different ages, different individuals have had different lifespans. And in Sati Yuga, the lifespan was 100,000 years. So Prabhupada says in the purport of this story that this Leela took place in Sati Yuga. So the point is, Dhruva was able to capture the form of the Lord, manifested himself in front of him. Dhruva got such great pleasure. The Lord offered him anything that he desired. But Dhruva is now feeling embarrassed. He's feeling embarrassed. Why is he feeling embarrassed? Why? Because he asked the Lord. He had a certain material desire. He had a desire that I may get a kingdom more opulent than my father, King Uttarapada, grandfather, Swayambhu Manu, great grandfather, Lord Brahma, that I may have a kingdom more opulent than any of my predecessors. So, a devotee, he felt embarrassed that I have asked the Lord for service. Just like in the story of Madhavendra Puri, you read that Madhavendra Puri, after he had completed his parikrama of Govardhan, he was resting at Govindakund, underneath a tree. He was hungry. But Madhavendra Puri would never ask anyone for anything. But a beautiful cowherd boy appeared, who brought some milk and told him, drink this milk and I'll take the container away later. He drank the milk. He was just meditating on the beautiful effulgence of this cowherd boy. He had never seen such a beautiful, handsome cowherd boy. And then, when he fell asleep, you know, not deep sleep, Madhavendra Puri would never snore. It was very light sleep. He saw that the same cowherd boy appeared before him and said, I'm very pleased by your devotion, so I want to give you a special assignment. I have been hidden that deep at this location. Please rescue me and install me. So Madhavendra Puri could see in that dream that that cowherd boy who brought the milk for him was not an ordinary cowherd boy. Who was he? He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Madhavendra Puri felt embarrassed. I took service from the Lord. My God, what did I do? I took service from the Lord. He was feeling embarrassed that he took service from Krishna. Normally our mentality just takes service from God, isn't it? within God is our order supplier. Whatever I need, God must supply. And if God doesn't supply, then you switch religions or you become an atheist. I don't believe in God. He doesn't give my wishes. But God is not supposed to be our order supplier. We are supposed to be the supplier of the Lord's instructions, that they are for our ultimate benefit. So the desire of a devotee is to serve. We, a few days ago, last week, we celebrated the disappearance day of Rupa Goswami. So, Rupa Goswami, we are known as Rupanugas because we follow the path given by Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan had retired from their government service. They took VRS. Yeah, VRS, these are voluntary retirement. So first, Sanatan Goswami took voluntary retirement. First, Rupa Goswami took voluntary retirement. And then Sanatan Goswami forcibly resigned himself. So Rupa Goswami. So anyway, when they came to Vrindavan, they were living the life of a Madhukari. In the Madhukari situation, the container for the devotee is the stomach. You know, you see people traveling with 4 or 5 suitcases. Indians especially travel with a lot of luggage. But one who does Madhukari, his suitcase is his stomach. That means that's all he holds. He doesn't have anything more than that. So they were living by Madhukari, very simple, eating dried chapatis, salt. Rupa Goswami had a desire that I should serve a nice sweet rice to my older brother, Sanatan. But how would he achieve that? Now they were living a simple life of mendicants, begging dry chapati, salt. But he had a desire in his heart. So a very beautiful young girl came. She said, Babaji, I have some gift for you. Take this milk, take this sugar, take this kesar, Kashmiri kesar, take all this, and please make some sweet rice. Rupa was just amazed at the beauty of that girl. She said, I'll come back soon and take these containers. Rupa waited. She never came back. He prepared sweet rice. When his brother came to join him for lunch, he tasted that sweet rice. He knew this sweet rice is not from this material world. It's from the spiritual world. So he inquired, Rupa, how did you make the sweet rice? Where did you get the ingredients from? Every day we just eat dry chapati and salt. Today you've given such a nice sweet rice. So Rupa narrated the whole story. How a beautiful young girl came. So Sanatana at once concluded, that young girl, she was Radharani, who disguised herself as a young girl, and you took service from Radharani. He chastised him. You took service from Radharani. So the mentality of a devotee is, I want to serve the Lord and not expect the Lord to be my servant or my order supplier. That may be okay in the initial stages, but as you progress spiritually, your desire should be to render niskam devotional service. So Dhruva here is feeling embarrassed. One would argue and say, oh, Dhruva should be overjoyed. God has desired. The Lord said, I'll give you a pole star, I'll give you a kingdom that you can rule over for 36,000 years. That's what Dhruva wanted, isn't it? He wanted something more opulent than that his father, grandfather, great-grandfather has. Now he more or less achieved that desire. But Dhruva is feeling the opposite. He's saying, what have I done? My God! I did all this austerity. But I did the austerity because I wanted to ask the Lord for something. And he gives the example that someone goes to an emperor and asks him for a few grains of husk rice. So he was feeling embarrassed that I asked the Lord for some material gifts. Of course the Lord did give him, grant him his wish. So someone may say, well, I want a big house in Jubeach, a nice car, a nice private jet. Krishna should, I'll also perform some austerities. Will Krishna grant it? One, generally Krishna doesn't give material opulence to his devotees, isn't it? It is said that devotees of Shiva are richer than devotees of Krishna. So sometimes people say, oh, I want money, I don't want bhakti, so I'll go to Shiva. So why did Krishna give Dhruva his wish fulfilled and the opportunity to rule over this kingdom for 36,000 years? Because the Lord knew that Dhruva will not get deviated from the devotional path. He knew that Dhruva will stick to the path of pure devotional service, and his material opulence is not going to distract him. And the Lord knows if he gives us too much opulence, we'll slip into Maya. So the Lord keeps us on our toes so that we're always dependent on him. So Dhruva is feeling embarrassed that he manifested the desire to have an open kingdom, and also he had the desire, I'm going to teach my stepmother a lesson. So that desire also, a devotee is generally very forgiving. The Lord may not forgive, but a devotee doesn't hold any anger or grudge against anyone. So we see in this, in these verses, that Dhruva is regretting having had this desire to achieve a kingdom more opulent than that of his father, grandfather, great-grandfather. Now in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada has written a fairly elaborate purport. Prabhupada describes the word swarajam, which means complete independence. And Prabhupada goes on to explain the so-called endeavors of politicians today to achieve political independence. And Prabhupada explains what is real independence. This reminds me of the story related to Prabhupada's first encounter with his spiritual master. In 1922, Prabhupada was a leader of the youth group in Scottish College, Calcutta. At that time in Scottish College, Calcutta, all the professors would also come from Scotland. And Prabhupada was a leader of the group that was pushing for independence from the Britishers. So, and Prabhupada's father was regularly host to all types of sadhus, some genuine, some bogus. Prabhupada said, my father did not care whether they were genuine sadhus or drug-taking sadhus. So his mood was to serve everyone. And he would tell everyone, please bless my child, my son, so he becomes a big devotee of Radharani. So Prabhupada's friend convinced Prabhupada to come and see this great sadhu, Bhakti Siddhantaji. And in the very first encounter, Bhakti Siddhantaji was impressed by his knowledge of the English language, his intelligence and devotion. So he said, you should take Lord Chaitanya's message and take it to the Western countries, isn't it? So Prabhupada said, but who is going to listen to our message? First we have to make our country independent. Then the world will listen to this message of Lord Chaitanya. When Bhakti Siddhantaji defeated Prabhupada's argument, Bhakti Siddhantaji said exactly what Prabhupada is saying in this purport. Bhakti Siddhantaji said, real independence is independence from the cycle of birth and death. Political independence is not real independence. And Prabhupada was a strong debater. Very rarely could anyone have defeated Prabhupada in his college days. But Prabhupada said later, I was completely defeated by my spiritual master. So Bhakti Siddhantaji defeated his argument that people will only listen to Lord Chaitanya's message if India has political independence. He explained, real independence is what? Independence from the, what is real independence? Real independence is independence from the cycle of birth and death. you know, we're all trying to achieve victory. That's like the Olympics is going on. Everyone, the whole world's watching. Everyone's seeing who gets how many medals. So we're all going out for victory, victory in sports, victory in politics, victory in wars. But the real victory that we should be anxious to seek is victory over the samsara, birth and death. What this Krishna conscious movement is teaching people how to be victorious over the cycle of birth and death. And unless you achieve this knowledge, all other aspects of knowledge are incomplete. Just like 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 100,000 zeros adds up to 0. But the moment you add the figure 1, the zeros become meaningful. So our endeavor in life becomes meaningful once we endeavor to please Krishna. And one can please Krishna at various levels, but the Bhagavatam is presenting the highest philosophy. And the highest philosophy is Sarva Punsam Paro Dharma. That is the philosophy of pure devotion to the Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj is communicating a message to all of us. Through this story of Dhruva Maharaj, and through the stories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we, the conditioned souls, are being given messages. What is the Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is nothing but a storybook. A storybook describing the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. So it's from the story of Dhruva Maharaj, what do we learn? We learn that if you want to please the Lord, you must practice austerities. And if you want to please the Lord, we must be determined on the devotional path. Not that slightest obstacle and I want to resign. I want to retire. No. And we learn that the highest goal one can have is to serve the Lord, but in a niskam mood or pure devotional service, which means without motivation. We may have come to Krishna consciousness with various motivations. We've all come here to some factor or the other. But having come to Krishna consciousness, having obtained spiritual knowledge in the association of devotees, our desire should be to serve without motivation. And if that's the desire, then ultimately we'll get love of God. So Prabhupada in the purport has made it very clear that the pure devotee's desire is only to have the privilege of serving of the Lord. And that is real independence. So real independence is not independence from political independence or economic independence. Real independence is achieved when you engage in pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if you have any other desire, that's an unfortunate desire. So our effort should be to develop the mood that I want to serve the Lord in any condition. I'm not looking for position. I'm not looking for A, B, C facility. I'm just looking for the opportunity to serve the Lord. And there's so many devotees who are serving the Lord all over the world in such difficult situations. Here in Hare Krishna land, the devotees are the most fortunate because the Hare Krishna land has one of the best facilities in the world for serving in all respects. But there's so many parts of the world where devotees live in, you can't even discuss one small room and you'll have 20 brahmacharis living over there, standing in line for 10, half an hour to get to the toilet. But devotees are serving even in those conditions. So our mood should be to engage in pure devotional service, and as we chant attentively, study the books, hear the philosophy, stay in the association of devotees, we develop the desire to serve without motivation. And that should be our real goal. So to summarize, Dhruva Maharaj is pleading that he was very foolish, that he manifested his desire to the Lord, and he's regretting that he had manifested a desire to have an opulent kingdom to the Lord. So by Dhruva Maharaj's example, we should get inspiration to render pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Any questions? No questions? same Krishna? I can give evening class also in Hindi.
Whatever.
Shanta class in Hindi. Gita class. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
It is true that Dhruva Maharaja, after he saw Lord, he became desireless, that he no longer wanted kingdom. But then Lord is seated in the heart of all living entities. So Lord must be knowing that he is no longer has any desire. But still, why he prevailed upon Dhruva Maharaja to rule the kingdom for 36,000 years? Suppose Dhruva Maharaja had prevailed upon the Lord that he no longer wants it at any cost. He wants to go with the Lord only. Would Lord not have given him prayer?
You're asking questions. What would the Lord have done had this happened or that happened? That's hard for us to answer. But the Lord's given everyone the freedom, and Dhruva Maharaj came to the proper realization also as a result of the Lord's mercy. Isn't it? And they say, better late than never. You heard that phrase, better late than never? So at least he understood that what I did was a mistake. So now he's rectifying the mistake. Okay. Fine. You have a question? Okay. Yes.
Maharaj Prabhupada elsewhere, Prabhupada says, actual independence means one who takes exclusive shelter at the lotus feet of Hari.
Yes. He says, that is a real independence. Pure devotees ask the Lord only for the privilege of serving Him. This is a real independence. Yes. So what's your question?
My question is...
Is it a question or a comment?
It is a comment, but just now my question is... that how do we know that by rendering devotional service and following instruction of the spiritual master that we are getting that perfection?
Well, you have to have faith in the instructions of the shastras, the sadhus, the guru. Without faith, nothing happens. The very fact that we are here means we have faith what the shastras are saying. Isn't it? Otherwise, why should we even come to the Hare Krishna temple? So we have faith, but what we need to do is consolidate our faith, make our faith stronger. And that is achieved by the process of bhajana kriya. Okay, Hare Krishna. Bolo Shyam.
Hare Krishna. To Sam Srimad Bhagavad Gita Prabhu Maharaj Prabhachan Denge. हिंदी में